tomorrow we had time for three short selections from Jean-Philippe Collard and his album of Rachmaninoff piano pieces. Those actually dated from 1911 and 1917. The date I gave you before was from another piece that they mentioned. This has been Valerie Jean. I'll be back in 3 weeks. My next show for the WUSB Classical show on the weekend, and Jim and Dave will be sitting in the seat next two Saturdays at 7. This is Long Island's first station of the 90s, WUSB Stony Brook, and after a couple short messages, stay tuned for Eric Corley and Brain Damage.
Did you ever wonder about the vast variety of musical rhythms that stretch throughout the continent of Africa? If so, tune in every Thursday evening between 7 and 8:30 for the African Beat. My name's Chris, and you're invited to join me every Thursday evening to explore the traditional and popular rhythms of the African continent that have so widely influenced today's music. So keep it tuned here at 90.1 FM for non-commercial alternative radio at its best. Long Island's first station of the 90s, WUSB in Stony Brook.
This is a CD, by the way. Take any more of it. Yeah, it's not a CD, all right? It's an LP. It's one of our LPs that someone apparently sat on. Oh, listening to Pink Floyd with scratches is like getting bubblegum on your shoes. Let's try the other side. Maybe it sounds a little bit more aesthetically pleasing. Oh, that is better. That's enough of that.
The number you have reached, 632-6901, is not in service. Please check the number and dial again. 632-6901 is not in service. Please check the number and dial again.
It's 12 minutes after 10 o'clock, and our number isn't working. Well, maybe it is. You have to try it, you know? You just have to keep trying. It's like any other part of life. It may not work once. It may not work twice, but on that 53rd time, who knows? Did I mention it was 12 minutes after 10 o'clock? Isn't that extraordinary? Oh, I've always thought so. It's 20 degrees Celsius. That's 68 on the Fahrenheit scale and 88 on the USB scale. And we have Moscow Mailbag all lined up and ready to go. But alas, I believe this program was made before all the fun started. The mail takes a while to get here. But maybe next week we'll have some real exciting stuff for you. We'll also be playing the second half of the new BAD record. Catching up on tripod escapades and taking your phone calls. Maybe. At 632-6901. And don't forget the area code, which is 516.
Questions. A package of questions today from Mr. DeFries of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He writes, "We were allies in both world wars. We stood together in the Gulf crisis. I understand Russia stood by the American colonies in their fight for independence."
That is correct. During the days of Concord and Lexington, George III asked Catherine, Empress of Russia, for 20,000 Cossacks to defeat the American War of Independence. In a private letter, Catherine wrote that the Russians sympathized with the Americans. In 1780, Russia organized the League of Neutrals, a mighty maritime alliance which proclaimed the right of neutrals to trade with the belligerent sides. In that way, Britain's attempt to blockade the revolutionary American colonies was defeated. Then, later, at the beginning of the Civil War, Russia offered to mediate between the North and the South. And later, when England and France were toying with the idea of recognizing the South as a sovereign nation, two Russian war fleets visited New York and San Francisco on a goodwill visit to the people and government of the North. When the question of recognizing the Southern Federation came up, Russia flatly refused, and this influenced England and France to follow suit. And finally, I'll say, did you know that a Russian general fought on the side of the North? He was General Turchin, his real name being Turchaninov.
Do you have any national soft drink, like our Coca-Cola or Pepsi?
We have a refreshing drink called kvass. It's made of malt, rye and barley flour, sugar, and mint. It's sold in bottles and from tank trucks. People come up to drink a mug or to take home a gallon or two in a canister. I understand kvass was already known at the time of Peter the Great, and at that time, people thought it had medicinal qualities. Who knows?
How about wines and cognacs?
Ha! Archaeologists, you know, in Armenia found 500 huge earthen jars, or urns, I don't know what to call them, in which wine was kept 3,000 years ago. Now, Soviet champagne is one of the best in the world, and mind you, this is no exaggeration. Soviet wines have won hundreds of medals at international congresses and exhibitions. In Georgia, they had 500 local varieties of grapevine, until many were destroyed by the recent anti-alcoholic campaign, which did more harm than good, and only boosted underground distillery of alcohol to a fantastic degree. If you take Georgian dry wines, you can bet anything you want, but they can hold their own against the best wines of France, and they often surpass them. Such names as Saparavi and Rkaziteli and many others come to mind. Azerbaijan makes good red table wines, Matrasa and Shamkhor. The North Caucasus produces Abrau Riesling and Anapa Riesling. The southern coast of the Crimea makes dessert wines, Muscats, Tokais, and those in the know say they are among the very best. Armenia makes good Jerez, also made in Turkmenia and Uzbekistan. And Madeira of superb quality is produced in the Crimea. Cognacs are made in many republics, but Churchill preferred Armenian cognac, and not only Churchill. At the foot of Mount Ararat, there's a beautiful building of pink tufa stone. I visited it, incidentally, many years ago, where thousands of barrels or vats of this amber-like cognac mature for years and years, and some of the brands are 50 and more years old.
To change the subject, what does the red star above the sickle and hammer symbolize?
The five-pointed star symbolizes the slogan devised by Karl Marx, "Workers of all lands unite." The 5 points meaning the five continents of the globe. The author of the star was Leon Trotsky, whose name for many years was taboo. Now, today, in the light of present-day political developments, the slogan, to many people, seems out of date. Why? Because we want to integrate into the economy of the world and not with the workers of the world. No offense meant.
And why is red your national color?
You see, the red flag has for centuries, even back in feudal times, been a symbol of the revolutionary liberation struggle. I'll give you a few examples. The red flag was hoisted in France during the Republican uprising in Paris in 1832 and during the Paris Commune in 1871. In Russia, it first appeared in the 17th century during the peasant uprising. And from the 90s of the last century, it's been a symbol of the fight against the Tsar.
Does 1776 ring a bell in Russian cultural history?
Well, I guess it should, but few people know it. 1776 was the year the Bolshoi Theater was founded. The original theater burned down, and the building you see today was built in 1825.
Mr. DeFries also asks, just what is caviar?
Caviar is the roe or eggs of fish. The black caviar comes from the sturgeon-type fish, the red from the salmon type. It is the greatest delicacy, and I know that it costs hundreds of dollars a pound in the United States. Whole grain eggs with just a little salt added is all that needs to produce caviar. They tell me caviar is taken out of the fish while it's still alive. So those who fight cruelty to animals ought to get busy. The best caviar comes from the Volga area and the Caspian Sea. The Ossetr sturgeon yields 17 to 22 pounds of caviar. The beluga sturgeon, which produces the best caviar and the most expensive, yields up to 105 pounds of caviar per fish. It's a huge, giant fish.
Do you have horse racing?
Do we? When I was in Australia several years ago, they were shooting a film with yours truly called The Man from Moscow. And one of the first places they took me to was a racetrack. Then they asked me the same question. We have over 100 racetracks around the country, and there is betting. We do have totalizers. We have trotting races, flat races, with drivers in sulkies. You know, those two-wheeled contraptions. We go in for horsemanship, dressage, and steeplechase. And just the other day, there was about at least an hour of horse racing on national television. We have national competitions of rural horsemen, but we do not have rodeos, although our circus performers will show fantastic skills in horsemanship. Our stud farms sell horses to buyers from many countries at regular auctions, and some horses fetch very high prices. Perhaps some of the most beautiful thoroughbreds that we have are the Ahal Tekin breed from Turkmenia. They're of Arab blood, I understand. And you know, even women take part in such difficult events as the steeplechase. And I'll end up by saying that we've had Olympic champions in horsemanship.
How many candidates run for any office during elections?
When we were electing the Russian president, there were six, which I think is too many. Or maybe it's an attempt to distract the votes from the main candidate. During the elections to the Congress of People's Deputies in certain precincts, there was only one candidate, and as often as not, that one candidate was crossed out as a form of protest for there being no choice. But usually there are two or three. Practice showed that when there are from 15 or maybe 20 or more candidates, none get the required 50% of the votes, and runoff elections have to be held. But in Leningrad, you know, this is an exception to the rule, Ivanov, a criminal investigator who was not in favor with the powers that be, beat all 27 candidates on the ballot and got more than 50% of the votes.
Is Lake Baikal the biggest lake in the world?
It's not the biggest in surface area by far. The biggest lake in surface area is the Caspian Sea, a landlocked body of water. Lake Baikal is the biggest freshwater lake in Asia and Europe and the deepest. The deepest point is 5,710 feet below the surface. And it's noted for its very, very transparent water. Another interesting fact about it is that three-quarters of the about 1,000 animals found in the lake are characteristic of only Lake Baikal and nothing else. It is known for its original seals and a variety of salmon called amul. There are about 40 varieties of fish in Lake Baikal, half of them found only in Lake Baikal. I've sailed on a hydrofoil along its southern shores, an experience I will long remember. But there's been quite a fight by our ecologists to keep the lake clean.
Do you have street musicians?
Yes, we do. Something that has appeared only a few years ago. Many choose to play in the underpasses for pedestrians, which we have at busy crossings. Another haunt of theirs is Arbat Street in Moscow, which is closed to traffic. I've seen violinists, accordion players, a solo saxophonist, singers, and small rock groups. One group interviewed on television said they preferred this to performing at restaurants or clubs. I don't know why. Maybe they make more this way. I don't know.
A letter from Clarence Moe of Tucson, Arizona. Did Yeltsin get much in the way of offers for joint enterprises when he was in the United States?
You see, I'll only speak about the results of Mr. Yeltsin's visit to the United States. There were no concrete contracts, but it was decided to send about 2,500 specialists to study in the United States, a kind of a refresher course. It was decided to implement a program on processing agricultural products in our country, and to attract United States companies to develop our transport system, and to jointly solve problems of converting our military industry to civilian production. And General Colin Powell spoke about this when he was in Moscow not so long ago. It's a giant task and a complicated one.
And I guess it's time for your wrap-up joke, Joe.
Odessa, I've said before, is the capital of satire in this country. Well, here goes. A mermaid surfaced in the port of Odessa holding a tiny baby in its arms. A group of curious people gathered at the quayside. She looked up and asked, "Does anybody know where Dima the diver lives?" Well, you know, I told this joke to Julie, who reads your questions, and she thought it was flat and not funny at all. And she couldn't understand how a mermaid could have become pregnant. Well, I didn't want to go into the details, so I decided to add another joke. A mermaid was caught in the nets of a trawler. A sailor took her in his arms and looked and looked and looked at her, and then threw her back into the ocean. The captain on the bridge shouted, "But why?" "Yes, but how?" said the sailor.
And that was Joe the Joker Adamoff answering your questions on Moscow Mailbag. And address your letters to Radio Moscow, Moscow, the USSR. You couldn't do better than write us that letter. Your comments on the show are welcome. Mailbag is on the air every Saturday, Sunday, and Wednesday on the East Coast at 2310 and 0210 UTC, and on the West Coast at 0410 and 0610 UTC.
Well, so much for Glasnost. They're slowing down and we help them out. That's how it works. Okay, that's Moscow Mailbag for this week. Hope it answered all your questions. And if it didn't, send them a question and they will answer it. And make sure you mention that you heard it on WUSB in Stony Brook, New York. Their address, Radio Moscow, Moscow, the USSR. And our address is almost as simple. It's WUSB, Stony Brook, New York, 11794. Well, yes, it's that time again. Well, it's not really that time again. It's just, you know, sort of that time because we don't actually do this every week at this time. But it happens to be 10:30, and we're going to play the second half of the new Big Audio Dynamite 2 record. Now, perhaps I should explain for those confused people out there that this is not Big Audio Dynamite's second album. It's the second incarnation of Big Audio Dynamite. Hence, it's called BAD 2. And this is the second half of a record that we heard last week. It's their first record, but it's really their second record because they put out an album called Kool-Aid last year, but they've pulled that off the shelves and they don't want anybody to know that it was out. And we played it anyway. So it's their first or second album, depending on which you prefer, and it's the second incarnation of the band, which, in case you don't know, Big Audio Dynamite sprung from Mick Jones of The Clash, Don Letts, and all kinds of other people. But only Mick Jones is left now. Everybody else has gone off to form Screaming Target, whose album we heard weeks ago. Okay, any questions? Good. Let's move ahead then. We're going to be hearing five songs. One called Green Grass, which is a brand new song. Kool-Aid, which appeared on the Kool-Aid record, which didn't exist. As well as In My Dreams and When the Time Comes, although completely different mixes. And we'll finish it off with a very weird song called The Tea Party. And The Tea Party features vocals by Lorna Stuckey. Now, I hate to advertise my ignorance, but I don't know who Lorna Stuckey is. But she's got a really weird voice, sounds like an opera singer, and we'll just have to see about that. Now, in case you missed last week's presentation, well, it's your lucky moment, I guess, because, well, here it is again. There. That was the song Rush, followed by Can't Wait, I Don't Know, The Globe, and Innocent Child here on WUSB in Stony Brook. Now, we're going to be listening to the next five songs a bit slower. But if you missed them, we'll review them again next week as we just review those. We'll be back in a little while to take your phone calls.
Stairway of your Let's go. Some of you. This is how she feels. She does what she likes. She's free. She doesn't care about convention. She's just free. She does what she likes. And the one who's fine. How can you find the dolly girl? Probably young. Oh, well, the clouds are full of scotch and dollies. Dolly. And, I think Birdland is a new one, which I've been to once or twice. It's quite singing. Otherwise, there aren't really that many Willett clubs in London, but the ones that are great. You know, you just go there and drink and talk, you know, do what you like. You know what I'm saying?
Will you welcome, please?
Big audio dynamite.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Dipso Calypso.
Come on, you misfits and muscle men, pack them up and move them along. Let's get it together tonight on the Saturday after all. 10 minutes underwater, thumb into the air.
How much can I bear?
should be kicking in right now.
10 minutes of water.
I'm gonna get you.
I'm gonna see a street almost every night. A sound is underground. You're still burning big out of poverty and cleaning up the street. And the man who wants to stand for his piece of land is pushed aside. Cause he don't quite fit, try to make it quick. And twist his mind, go from behind. Call out to his members to do something, realize that when the time comes, they're gonna terrorize. Everything what you say that a man should call it right. But when the time comes, they're gonna terrorize. Brother on the street, there's no time for you to take your time. Boy, will we have
peace to the almonds, blend it all and sound it on the ground. Just a boogie bee down a policy and clean you up the street. And the man he wants to stand for his piece of land gets pushed aside. Cause he does not fit, got to make him bleed. And twist his not wind. Go from
record. Side 2 if you have the LP and Part 2 if you have the CD. New record by Big Audio Dynamite 2 entitled The Globe. We heard Green Grass, Kool-Aid, In My Dreams, When the Time Comes, and just finished off now with The Tea Party featuring the voice of Lorna Stuckey, who I still don't know who that is, but somebody can enlighten me on that subject, please do. BAD2 consists of Mick Jones, vocals, guitar, Gary Stoneage, bass and vocals, Chris Kavanaugh, drums and vocals, and Nick Hawkins on guitar and vocals. And that album has been released here in the States, so you should be able to find it in most places. This one that we played, though, is from England, because I brought it back with me, and I think it's exactly the same as the one in the States. I haven't heard the one in the States yet, but I believe it's the same. If anyone has any countering information, I won't be offended if you bring it up. Okay, we've got to move into the tripods and then the news and then some phone calls at 632-6901. We'll be talking about what's happened to you during this past week. Were any of you in the subway train that had a misfortune? Pro-choice rallies, anti-choice rallies, pro-labor rallies, independence in the Soviet Union, that kind of thing, you know? We'll be talking about whatever is happening in the world, and there's a good amount happening. 632-6901, that is our telephone number, area code 516. We'll be getting to those phones. First the tripods, then the news. But before anything, this important announcement here on WUSB, Stony Brook.
My name is Lucia Chappell.
And I'm Greg Gordon.
And we produce This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine.
It's very important to support this kind of radio station because this kind of radio station is the only kind of radio station that's going to provide programming for gay men and lesbians.
Commercial stations would be afraid to lose their listeners if they didn't apologize for the gay-lesbian lifestyle and not just report on it.
Unlike commercial stations, community radio does not depend upon advertising to support itself, to pay the bills, to keep the transmitter going, to pay the light bills. It's you, the listener, at home. And that's why periodically community radio stations all over the country go on the air and ask you to support the station by pledging to support the station with your dollars.
Community radio, in short, is just a real valuable resource for you and for me. So take advantage of it and support it.
Radio Free Long Island, in conjunction with the Three Village Tobacco Farms, proudly presents the adventures of the Tripod family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. This week, as we check in with Kathy, Howard, and Boris, we find that they are in the sewer system of Nice and have just met Uncle Jonathan. And Kathy right now is wondering just why Uncle Jonathan.
Uncle Jonathan! What in the world are you, of all people, doing here?
We thought we were the only ones wandering around these French sewers.
I am totally baffled and a little confused, my friends. What is going on?
Well, it's no wonder you're confused, Boris.
Well, who wouldn't be? I'm confused, too. And he's my uncle.
I'm not really confused. I'm more puzzled.
Well, Uncle Jonathan, do you have an explanation as to just why you're here?
You're probably wondering what I'm doing here. Eh, Kathy?
That man is very intelligent, no?
Well, I'll tell you. If you remember a month or two ago, Howard, you were supposed to star in a major motion picture with that famous French actress. Oh, what was
Come off it already. What about Brigitte Leroux?
Hey, that was her name. Very good, Kathy.
You mean that you, Mr. Tripod, were supposed to co-star in a major motion picture with Brigitte Leroux?
Yes.
My sister?
What?
It's all falling into place now, my children.
I'm more confused than ever, Uncle Jonathan. What is going on?
It's very simple, Kathy, very simple. You see, I was under contract to have a film made by the end of the month, and then Howard got lost and Brigitte Leroux never showed up.
All right, that makes sense so far. Now, wait a minute. I want to write this down so I don't get lost. Hang on here. Okay, go ahead.
So there I was with no film and a rapidly approaching deadline.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what to do. And then I found out, Kathy, that you and Howard were going on a vacation.
And the rest is history, my friends.
What do you mean the rest is history, Boris? I still don't understand this.
Why don't we just let Uncle Jonathan finish explaining it?
I heard that you two were in search of a statue that was hidden somewhere in France. So I hired a film crew to follow you around as soon as you got onto the boat and record your every move.
Now, hold on. Do you mean that all the time we were out looking for the statue, we were actually on film?
That's correct, Kathy.
Let me write that down.
But where does Boris fit into all of this?
Ah, that is the most interesting part, Mr. Tripod. You see, my real name is Boris Leroux.
So you are Brigitte's sister. I mean, brother.
Wait a minute, Howard. Don't go so fast.
Boris has always been a good friend of mine. So when I called him to find out where his sister was, he told me that she had decided to give up acting for a while. He offered to help me in her place.
Howard, give me your pen. Mine's going dry.
So I hired Boris to help you find the statue. which I made certain was hidden in the most dangerous and terrifying place in France.
The sewers of Nice.
You mean we've been risking our lives down here just so you could make a stupid film?
I ought to tear your stupid face apart. Do you know what we've been through?
Calm down, Mr. Tripod. Remember, you will be getting 25% of the residuals.
I'll let it go this time, but watch out in the future.
25%? Golly, that could be a lot of money.
I'm expecting this film to be the biggest thing since Star Wars.
All right. Let me see if I got everything straight. Now, we've been starring in a film all this time and we didn't know it. But Boris did know it, right?
That's exactly right, Kathy.
Now, the film began as soon as we stepped onto the boat. And I'll bet that mysterious stranger we met on the boat was a part of the plot, right?
That's correct, Kathy. You certainly are perceptive.
Phew. Well, that explains that.
There's one thing I'm not sure on. Now, we know when the film began, but where does it end?
Why, it is still going on, my friends.
Yes, you might call this the grand finale of the entire film.
I think the shock ending will astound many people.
Shock ending? What shock ending? And so, all sorts of shocking discoveries are made by the tripods, far too many to be summarized within this 30 seconds. You want to tune in next week when we'll hear Howard say, "Boy, that was shocking." That's next week on The Exciting Adventures of the Tripod Family, presented exclusively to an arrangement with Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka.
From Believer. Almost 2 million American teenagers use illicit drugs. The facts are well documented. Our nation, our neighbors, and our children have all become victims of drug abuse. Drugs are systematically destroying the very structure of our society. The fact is, it's more than just saying no, it's your life. For more information, call 1-800-USA-2525 or contact your local substance abuse center. Don't waste the brain God gave you. Use it and help stop the madness.
Think about it.
All right, I love it when heavy metal bands get religious. Don't waste the brain God gave you. Yeah. Well, that's all fine and good here on WUSB. Where drugs are not cool, and Catholic religion and heavy metal is cooler than drugs. It's 7 minutes after 11, and time for us to take a look at the news. How about that? Okay, now it's 8 minutes after 11, it's time to read the news out loud. Bush administration sources now say President Bush will announce Monday that... Oh, you ready for this, folks? Oh, boy. Okay, it's happening Monday, and it's definite now. And he's going to announce it, and the administration sources confirm this. And, in fact, you can hear our teletype inside printing out more information about this. It's very exciting. We're all running around here getting ready for Monday, putting up some, you know, little... streamers and things like that, but it's about time, and it's well overdue, and it will happen Monday. The U.S. will grant full diplomatic recognition to the three Baltic republics. Can anybody listening name the three Baltic republics? Better question. Can anybody name all 15 republics? Is anyone out there capable of doing that? I'd like to know. Might win a prize or something if you can. It certainly will come in handy in the future. National Security Advisor Brent Scowcroft told reporters that the U.S. is still counting on the Soviet Union to grant independence to... Well, we're going to say them now, so might as well not call. To grant independence to Estonia, Lithuania, and Alabama. No. One of those is wrong, and you can replace it with Latvia. The small nations were forcibly annexed 50 years ago. 50 years ago. In Chicago, hundreds of demonstrators marched today demanding the U.S. recognize the Yugoslavian republics of Croatia and Slovenia. Some marchers carried signs that read, "Croatia is already home of the brave, help make it home of the free, and stop the butchers of Belgrade." Chances may be improving for peace in Croatia. The Yugoslavian news agency is reporting that the dominant Republic of Serbia has accepted a peace plan offered by the European community. Meanwhile, there's been more violence. A Croatian government official says it appears some Croatian police died or were injured when their vehicle was hit by a tank or artillery fire at the Zagreb airport. And the Polish parliament has rejected the resignation of Prime Minister Jan Bielecki, who called the vote surprising. Bielecki had offered to step down because of a lack of cooperation between his cabinet and the legislature. He says his government still lacks the power needed to speed economic reform. And I think this story should be the top story, but who am I to tell the Associated Press how to write their news? High spirits, high temperatures, and high humidity. I also wouldn't have written it like that, but never mind. They all teamed up to get the better of dozens of people overcome by heat today at a Washington Labor Day rally. At least 65 people were taken to hospitals, including one man who was believed to have had a heart attack. Several fire trucks hooked up nozzles to fire plugs and doused the sweltering crowd. But that's not the story. The story is that hundreds of thousands of union members turned out to Solidarity Day in Washington, D.C., the march and rally. Of course, they can make interesting use of the video of the firemen hosing off the crowd. Can make it into like a Montgomery scene or something. President Bush took some verbal hits from the throng. Protesters chanted, hey, hey, ho, ho, George Bush has got to go. And probably a lot more rhythmically than I just did it. But that's what they chanted. They chided him, yes they did, for ignoring domestic concerns while focusing on foreign affairs. And represented there were trade unions, as well as civil rights, religious, environmental groups, all represented in today's Solidarity Day rally. Labor leader Lane Kirkland addressed the crowd, estimated to be in the hundreds of thousands. In fact, it's been called the biggest labor rally ever in this country. I mean, that's kind of important. The AFL-CIO leader says the rally is to remind politicians that it's their job to serve not the faceless marketplace, but the aspirations of real people. Real people. That's what it's all about. It's not known what fate awaits 31 Cuban detainees who departed a federal prison in Talladega, Alabama today for their homeland. They had been scheduled for deportation back on August 22nd, but the day before that they took hostages and held out for 10 days until federal officers ended their siege early Friday morning. You know, if it was anybody else, they would have held them in prison, but these Cubans, they just wanted to get rid of them at any cost. So, didn't even hold them on any charges of holding hostages, just sent them back. A judge in Denver has ruled that a nurse accused of shutting off oxygen to a terminal cancer patient will be tried for attempted murder. Patricia Riley is free on bond. According to a police affidavit, Riley told another nurse the patient wouldn't be alive much longer because she just shut off the oxygen. Police say Ronald Evans, a 62-year-old lung cancer patient, died minutes later. The Libertarian Party chooses its presidential candidate, Andre Maru, yes, is a Las Vegas real estate agent. Maru, who served in the Alaska legislature, says he'd like to abolish the federal income tax and the Internal Revenue Service. Libertarians oppose taxes and believe in capitalism with no restraints, among other things. A survey of more than 1,700 employers finds that the recession has not kept white-collar salaries from rising at a pace with or above inflation. A study by a consulting firm specializing in wage studies found that salaries for executives and other non-union workers rose an average of 5% this year. An Iowa woman who was the country's first multiple sclerosis patient to win government approval to smoke marijuana for medicinal purposes has received her first shipment. The shipment was held up for more than 7 months by the Drug Enforcement Administration, and during that period, Barbara Douglas went blind. She claims the DEA delays cost her eyesight. And here we go again. Hundreds of dirty hypodermic needles and empty medicine vials were among the medical waste that washed ashore this weekend along a beach in New York City. The National Park Service says the beach at Jacob Riis Park in the Gateway National Recreation Area in Queens was closed to swimmers. One official says it's an isolated incident. The beach may be reopened tomorrow. If you have 50 isolated instances happening in the same area, are they still an isolated instance? Or could they be connected? You tell me. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America is vowing to pursue Christian unity through full communion with other churches. The Assembly of the 5.2 million member denomination voted today to work toward a confessional church that would be evangelical, universal, and ecumenical. If somebody wants to call up and translate all that, please do, because it sounds like it should be important, but I don't really know why. Country singer Dottie West is on a respirator after being injured Friday in a traffic accident. The doctor says she's unconscious, but her manager and her son say the singer is occasionally alert. Dottie West, she's something like 90 years old now, isn't she? That's the news here on WUSB, and I was not able to find the weather. You know, our machine is sending off a weather forecast for all areas of the country, but not for this area of the country. They just can't be bothered with that, apparently, or they don't know that we're here. And we can tell you what it's like in Ohio, but we can't tell you what it's like here in Long Island. We can tell you it's 19 degrees Celsius. That's 66 on the Fahrenheit scale. And, of course, that's 85 on the USB scale, which is Fahrenheit and Celsius added together. Don't laugh, it works. It really does. And our phone number is 632-6901. We have wide open phone lines, completely wide open for you to talk about the events of this week. What do you think of crack-smoking subway drivers? Now, yeah, the one that crashed a couple of days ago was not smoking crack, but he had a crack vial in the subway compartment that the driver sits in. It's a locked little room there. So, obviously, somebody at some point either was just carrying it around as a souvenir or it was there for some utilitarian purpose. And it's something to think about that. Now, is that a reason to start mandatory drug testing? You know, mandatory random drug testing? Is it an invasion of privacy when something like that is happening? Or is it something that we should expect people to adhere to? And have you noticed anything like that? Have you noticed people that are in the business of transporting humans around, either in trains or buses or taxis, that don't seem to be quite with it? Well, what are our responsibilities to this? And is it starting all kinds of oppressions to begin having urine tests and drug tests every couple of days? That kind of thing. Have you ever taken a drug test? Have you ever taken a urine test? Have you ever taken a lie detector test? How many of us have been affected? Have you ever tried to manipulate one of these tests? I was in an anarchist bookstore. Oh boy, here we go. Now I've done it. Now I've incriminated myself on the air. I was just there. I mean, it's a hot day. I was looking for water. Of course, that's the last place you'll find, you know, something like, you know, a nice icy Coke or something nice like that. No, just went in. It was a mistake. I went into the wrong door. And, just like many people around here make mistakes. And it was an anarchist bookshop. I just happened to notice that they had in the back this, I guess it's freeze-dried or powdered urine, that all you do is you add warm water and you have this drug-free urine that you can submit to anybody you want. I mean, it's the most amazing invention I've ever heard of. I don't know if anybody has ever actually done that, if it really works. I mean, is it even ethical? That's another thing I hadn't even thought of. And can you do the same thing for other kinds of drug tests and things like that? I don't know. What are people coming up with? I want to hear it. 632-6901. Apparently, my listeners do not have a clue as to any of this because the phones are dead. Dead as usual. Dead as a doornail. All right. Well, while we're waiting for phone calls to come in, apparently the station's being torn apart, too. While we're waiting for all that, let's do something that we're expected to do occasionally. And reach out and play another game of Confuse the Operator. Some people have come up to me and said, you know, Eric, confusing operators is about as easy as stepping on ants. But my reply to that is, you tune to all the other radio stations, commercial and non-commercial, and they're not confusing operators. So we've got to do it because it's not being done. Now, when we have operators being confused left and right on TV and radio, then maybe we'll move on to something else. But for now, it's our job. We've got to do it. Okay. Now, we're going to connect to an AT&T operator here.
Yeah, may I help you?
Yes, can I have AT&T, please?
Thank you.
Thank you. And
one moment for an operator who can assist you.
We're going to ask them
Thank
something.
You.
About a mysterious country code. Country code 599.
AT&T, how can I help you?
Yes, operator, I was wondering if you could help me. I'm trying to find out where country code 599 is.
No. Country code
599. Okay. Now, on their database, it shows up as Netherlands. Some know that it's actually Netherlands Antilles, which is an island. Some think it's Netherlands in Europe.
Do you have anything else besides 599?
No, that's all I have right now.
Oh, okay. Just a moment.
It's great because they look at their database and they know that it's not supposed to be the Netherlands. There's no way it could be. Some of them know. Some of them don't know. Some of them don't care. Some have to go into the other room and check with the supervisor. And some fall down and never get up. That's just the way it is. The sound of an operator thinking. What I'd like to do is try this with several operators and sort of take a law of averages here.
Still checking, okay?
Okay, thank you. In fact, take your time. I mean, we've got all the time in the world here. We've got some phone calls coming in, but I'd like to see some more. 632-6901. You know, think of me as Gene Scott asking for calls, but I'm not asking for money, you know? I mean, I don't know how he does it. He gets all these calls and then he rambles on about nothing in particular. We try doing that here and we just don't get the same response. Why is that? I mean, we're just as crazy as Gene Scott. If people don't know who Gene Scott is, just picture a crazy man with a beard that just talks
on. Yeah,
still
checking.
Okay. I guess it's the hard one, isn't it?
Yeah, because I need more numbers, so I got to go through the whole... the whole listing from A to Z.
I see. I thought you could just type it into a computer and it would just come up.
Yeah, but see, I need the whole number. That way I can...
I mean, the software is such that you can only put in the whole number and then it spits it back at you.
Yeah.
Well, that's unpleasant. Anybody out there write software? Maybe you could give AT&T some better software that allows you to look at a number and tell you what country code it is. I mean, I can ask what area code something is without, giving them the whole number. It's only common sense that you're able to ask for a country code and find out what it is. All right. End of speech there. 632-6901, area code 516. Now, when this operator does find... I still don't know why it would take so long.
Getting close. I got 590.
Okay, you're getting there.
Yeah, getting there.
I mean, I can't understand why he's got to go through A to Z and he can't go through the numbers. You know? I mean, it hits me the wrong way.
Okay.
Out of fairness, though, we're going to try this with another phone company and see if they can do any better. AT&T is the best for this kind of thing, too. The best. No question about it.
Okay, the Netherlands.
It's the Netherlands. That's in Europe.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. You got it completely wrong. The country code for the Netherlands in Europe is 3131. And 599 is Netherlands Antilles. But on their database, they don't see the Antilles part because apparently their software is such that it can only hold about 10 letters. We're going to pursue this matter a little bit more. First, let's try another phone company. All right, anybody? Should we try MCI? Okay, let's try MCI and see if we can get any further. Get any more intelligent answers. See if they can even help us with this kind of a problem in the first place. That's a ring.
Thank you for calling MCI Customer Service. If you are calling from a touch-tone phone, press 1. If you are calling from a rotary phone, remain on the line, and an MCI representative will be with you shortly.
All right, I'll press 1 just so everybody can see what...
To hear a list of options in English, press 1.
Para oír la lista de opciones en español, marque 2.
Okay, I'm going to hit 2. Just for the challenge.
Thank you.
En cualquier momento durante esta llamada, usted puede ser transferido a un representante marcando 0. Si usted está llamando para establecer servicio de MCI o no es un cliente de MCI, marque 1. Si usted está llamando para instrucciones para la tarjeta de MCI, marque 2. Si usted es un cliente de MCI y desea inquirir acerca de su cuenta o información general, marque 3.
I'm going to hit 2, just out of a sheer guess. Now, will they answer speaking Spanish? That's what I want to know.
Usted puede usar su tarjeta de MCI para llamar en cualquier parte en los Estados Unidos o a cualquier parte en el mundo.
Okay.
Si usted desea instrucciones en cómo hacer una llamada con su tarjeta de los Estados Unidos, el Canadá o alguna de las islas de los Estados Unidos, marque 1. Si usted desea información...
You ever get the feeling you've dug yourself in too deep?
...llamada internacional, marque 2.
Okay, how do I get out of this?
Si usted está llamando de un hotel o de un suite...
All right. What I'm going to try doing now is hitting 0. Maybe that'll get me an operator.
Si usted desea oír acerca de las ventajas de la tarjeta de MCI, marque 4.
All right, I'm going to hit 0.
Para retroceder...
Por favor, no cuelgues. La llamada se va a conectar con un representante de MCI.
Ah, yes, un representante de MCI. Now, will they speak Spanish or will they speak English when they pick up the phone? That's the question.
Disculpe, pero a esta hora no hay representantes en español. A las horas que puede llamar son de 7 a.m. a 7 p.m. de lunes a viernes. Si usted desea hablar con un representante en inglés, permanezca en la línea. Si usted desea dejar un mensaje en español, marque 1.
I think they said that there's no Spanish representatives. If I press 1, I'll get one in English.
Después del tono, deje su nombre,
maybe,
número de teléfono y un mensaje corto. Cuando termine de hablar, marque el signo de número.
Now I think they want me to leave a message. I don't know how I got to this stage, but boy, I certainly have fallen off the trail here. All right. Let's see what happens if we don't say anything. Maybe we'll be connected to an operator. At the moment, I'm more confused than the operators have been. It's not supposed to work this way. Well, this is great. Now I've got silence. I don't even know if I'm still connected. Should I just start over again? I can't just start over again. I'll say this. It's a good service for MCI to have Spanish operators in the first place. I don't know if AT&T does that. At least not so easily. They don't give you a choice. No, they certainly don't. Okay, now, since this really isn't working out too well, I guess I'll just hang up and try again. Do I have any other choice? Okay. Oh.
Gracias. Su mensaje ha sido grabado. Usted recibirá una llamada de un representante en español entre las horas de 7 a.m. a 7 p.m.
That almost sounded like they hung up, didn't it? Tough choice here. I don't know exactly how to proceed. Yeah, they hung up, all right. Okay, we didn't accomplish anything with that except to waste a bit of time. So, let's... Okay. I think we've given MCI enough time here. Let's try another company. See if they can do any better. This is U.S. Sprint. And they will answer with a tone, and then the tone will turn into an operator. Believe it or not, it happens. Told you. Yes, hello, operator. Can you help me with the country code? Okay, I need to know what country code 599 is.
599?
That's right.
All right, hang on just a moment. Let me check and see for you.
Thank you very much. She sounds on top of the situation, doesn't she?
Is the Netherlands, A-N-T-I-L-L-E-S, whatever, and Tiles or something, I don't know how they pronounce that. That's in the Netherlands, which is Holland.
I see. Okay, and that would be in Europe then, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Okay. All right, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you for calling, Sprint.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ah, yes. Certainly sounded bubbly there, didn't she? But she got it wrong, too, even though she had it right in front of her. She had Netherlands. She had to spell out the word Antilles, and she did not know that Netherlands Antilles were in the Caribbean. Right? They are in the Caribbean. Yes, of course. So I've been told by two operators of two respected long-distance companies that country code 599 will get you to Europe, when in fact it does not. Let's try AT&T one more time, and this time try and get a real answer out of them.
You have call from Miss Tammy, help you.
Yes, can I have AT&T, please?
Oh.
The right choice.
One moment for an operator who can assist you. Thank you.
Yeah. 632-6901 will be taking phone calls. Phone calls right after this.
AT&T operator.
Hi, I was wondering if you could help me with the country code. I have country code 599 here, and I need to know where it goes.
I believe that the Netherlands Antilles. Does that sound right to you? You know anybody there?
Well, it sounds. Where's Netherlands Antilles?
Overseas.
Yeah, is it in Europe or Asia?
Netherlands. No, it's not.
Like, so nasty.
It's like an island. Hold on, let me just check to make sure.
Okay, thank you.
Neverland.
And she started out so strong, too, and I've completely destroyed her now. She's losing all her confidence. Oh, I am nasty, aren't I? But, you know, is it so much to expect?
It is. Neverland and Tilly's like St. Martin.
Uh-huh.
Let me see. Curacao. But like an island,
right?
It's not like, you know, overseas like Europe and thing like that.
I see. But do you know where this island is? What part of the world it's in?
The Antilles.
Right. Is that in the Pacific, the Atlantic?
Huh?
Is that in the Pacific or the Atlantic or?
I don't know. The only thing I know is just Netherlands Antilles.
Okay.
That's their country code.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I don't think it's too much to expect, you know, people who are switching phone calls all over the world to know just a little bit of geography and know where, you know, Netherlands and Antilles are, let alone know how to say the name. But I am rather demanding, and I do expect a lot out of people. I've been told that many times. But that has brought us to the end of another successful edition of Confuse the Operator. And there are operators all over the country now that are scratching their heads in bewilderment and wondering just what's going on. I shouldn't pick on operators, really, because I'll bet most people out there don't know where the Netherlands Antilles are anyway. I bet if I called the 7-Eleven, they wouldn't know there, would they? If I called a fire station, they wouldn't know. But I wouldn't call a fire station or 911 to ask them where the Netherlands Antilles were, or where country code 599 ends up, or anything like that. But that's just because society doesn't work like that. 632-6901, area code 516. Is there anybody out there? Good evening.
Hi.
How you doing?
Today I am prepared to bring specific charges against an industry that reaches into every household in the country.
Wait. Don't tell me. Reaches into every household in the... Well, it's not cable TV because they don't reach into every household. It could be either the electric company, but then again, they don't... Then it's not the same electric company. It must be the phone company, even though there's lots of different phone companies.
RCA Records.
RCA Records reaches into every home in the country?
It's about, and let me explain my actions.
All right. Go ahead, explain your actions.
All right. We recently found out about the implications of the Milli Vanilli fraud, yes?
Right.
Okay, now I am suing RCA Records, which is the label, for the sum of $3 million. In the name of every person that has bought their tape.
Now, why are you suing in the name of every person?
Because I am a justice doer. And I...
Well, now, do you plan on getting a list of those 3 million people and distributing whatever it is that you get?
Well, of course not.
Wait a minute. No, I'm not three... Wait, are you suing for $3 million or on behalf of 3 million people? I lost that somehow.
You like that? Good money maker.
Well, it's that too, of course. But you're not interested in the money; you're interested in the justice. I
mean, exactly. You're absolutely right. But you know, it takes the sting out of the lawyer bills. You know.
Well, yeah, but I can tell by the tone of your voice that you'd foot the money yourself if you could. But you're interested mostly in just getting justice served, and I have to say that's commendable. That's really commendable.
And a little Rolls Royce on the side wouldn't hurt either.
Well, know? Of course not, but that's just a natural way of thinking in this country. Any other plans for other ways of seeking out justice?
Oh well, for that $3 million. No, I think that'll do just fine.
Well, you see, if you get $3 million, then you can invest it in other lawsuits. And then you're able to sue for other things, and you just keep suing and suing and suing until you can make a business out of suing.
Think that would really work?
Well, it beats going to law school, doesn't it?
I think you're onto something.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling and sharing that with us.
I want to hear what other people have to say. I think that's a great idea.
Right. Well, I'm sure.
Oh,
you better hurry up and patent the idea before before you remember Monday is a holiday. Good evening.
Oh.
How you doing?
All right.
Where are you calling from?
Quorum.
Coram, nice place. I was just through there the other day.
It's a nice town.
Well, it's pretty good, yeah.
Just want to say, how are my going? Sucks.
All right, well, now that you said that, there's not much else left to say. Good evening.
Yes, this is Mike Weaver from AT&T.
Yeah?
And I'm the night supervisor. We have reports that he's been calling us about a county code.
Mike Weaver from AT&T, huh?
That's correct.
Man, what kind of phone are you using?
Cordless phone.
Oh, man, you should know. You should know that cordless phones are open to anybody listening in.
But don't you know we have censorship programs here at AT&T?
Censorship programs?
Yes.
Explain what a censorship program is.
We're communists.
Okay, well, the secret has been out for a while.
Okay.
Anything else you want to enlighten us on?
No, you guys are great.
Okay, well, we try, you know. We try to...
Okay, how's it going?
All right. Go easy on those operators there. 632-6901. Good evening.
Hello.
How you doing?
I just wanted to ask you, what's the difference between...
What are these people called?
Manuel Goldstein and Aaron Corley.
Well, I think both of them are a little bit wrong, but maybe you can tell me. Who's feeding you information? Obviously, somebody is like telling you what to say.
The guy is sitting next to me.
Uh huh. Well, why doesn't he pick up the phone and make a phone call himself? Huh?
He doesn't have the guts, and he wants to hear me on the radio.
He wants to hear you on. Well, how do you think you sound on the radio now?
I think I sound pretty good. Come on, Chris. Give me some information.
Come on, Chris. What's wrong with you here?
He says he's the real superhero.
Uh huh.
He says he thinks they're both wrong.
Yeah, I mean, Manuel and Aaron. I mean, I've never heard names like that in my life. That's
well, one means God is with us, and the other one is the Irish name for Ireland.
Yeah, that's true. Sort of.
Oh, the last name, I mean, but it's, you know, I mean.
Do you know what country code 599 is?
Country Club 599, I'm not really sure.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I'm just seeing if operators are any further behind regular people. Apparently they're not.
No, somebody else here said that normally they're all average guys.
So, what's your first name, sir?
My name is Sal.
Sal? Sal, have you ever taken a drug test?
A drug test?
Yeah.
I don't think I would even, I mean, you know, if it was up to me, I think, in fact, I've turned down a lot of jobs because they asked me to take a drug test.
Uh-huh.
I don't believe in drug testing. I think that drug testing is like checking the stains in someone's underwear. You know what I mean? If you're qualified...
Is there a group of people that do that now?
hey, they take drug tests, right?
Yeah, I'm sure Jesse Helms is at the forefront of whatever it is, but... Well, how about a lie detector test? You ever taken a lie detector test?
Taking a lie detector test, yeah.
What's that like?
Well, if you're not nervous, you really don't have anything to worry about unless you really are a bad liar.
Think of what you just said here. If you're not nervous, you don't have anything to worry about.
Well, the thing is, if you're nervous,
then you should worry.
Well, the thing is, if you're nervous, then they adjust it to your nervous reactions. But, I mean, basically, if you're a really bad liar and you have a conscience, then you might as well not take it. Because to some extent, they are accurate. I mean, you know, everybody goes through a physical change when they do something that they don't think is right. And lying, for most people, is a moral, faux pas.
Well, what if you have no morals?
If you have no morals, then you can lie your butt off. And,
what if you have, you know, if you feel guilty about life itself? You know, about if you feel you don't really belong in this planet.
Well, if then you're probably suicidal and you're doomed for failure anyway.
Well, I don't know if you're doomed for failure, but it's certainly not going to help if, you know, if everything you say turns out to be a lie on these tests. I mean, I've never taken one, so I have no idea what it's like. I'd sure like, if anyone out there has one, if you can just bring a polygraph machine over someplace, but bring it over to the station, we'll play with it, and we'll see, you know, if we can manipulate it.
Well, like I said, I took one, and...
You took one of the machines?
No, I took a polygraph test.
Okay.
I was about, I forget, maybe I was 15 or years old, and somebody accused me of stealing a van.
That's not a good thing to be accused of.
These came to my school, and they asked me, you know...
Well, if they asked you like that, I can imagine.
No, they asked me if I took the van, and I said no. And they said, well, will you be willing to take a polygraph test? And I said, sure, why not? See, you know, they asked me a lot of things about, you know, stealing and lying and cheating and stuff like that. And you know, it's funny because throughout the whole test, there was like one spot in the test where they asked me if I had ever stolen anything. And you know, I sort of lied to the guy, and I told him, well, listen, I did steal a bicycle from the front of somebody's house, but I also shoplifted and stole candy and things like that.
Yeah,
a lot of more victimless crimes, but, right. It never even occurred to me when I was 15 years old that some kid would wake up and find his junky old bicycle missing.
Uh-huh.
You know, and...
For every action, there is a reaction. But tell me, did they ever ask you if you believed in God?
Did they ever ask me if I believed in God? Well, if I think for them to ask a question like that is sort of like also taking a drug test.
Well, did they ask if you accept Jesus Christ as your savior?
I think that's also like taking a drug test.
Well, I mean, you know, sometimes the answer to those questions can indicate what kind of person you are.
You're absolutely right, but I also think that there are people who quote unquote accept Jesus Christ as their personal or even not impersonal savior,
mm-hmm.
and they lie, they cheat, they steal, they burn women, kids, houses, villages. You know, they poison cultures with Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola.
I have an Arlo Guthrie fan here on the phone.
Well, I think that's all relative, don't you?
Yeah, well, it is. It definitely is. But, you know, where do you draw the line? Where do you say, okay, you know, stop asking these questions here, you know?
I think that's personal also, because, you know, what's good for me, what I might agree with today, all right, they could go around and do it to 100 million people, but as soon as they come and knock on my door, I'm, you know, either going to find a quick way to get out the back door, or, you know, I'm going to fight for, you know, my own privacy. I think that, you know, that's the thing there.
But you see, I mean, they accused you of something, right?
Yeah.
And you submitted to a lie detector test knowing that you were telling the truth, and I guess, you know, to clear your name. But didn't you see it as kind of a violation of your rights to be subjected to this if you were innocent?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I thought that, but you have to understand that the police, you know, they weren't really violating my rights. The person who was actually violating my rights was the person who, I mean, I had never even met them, but that was the person who accused me of doing it to begin with. That was the person who set the police on me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was wrong. I mean, I had an idea of, you know, who did it. But, you know, I mean, you know, he was a lot bigger than I was, and there was nothing I could do to, you know, where do you get off doing this, or where do you get off doing that? But, you know, I mean, basically, the police do have a job. The federal government, the FBI, the CIA, they do have a job.
Right, but guess who writes the rules as to how they do that job? No, it's us. We write the rules. We're the ones that
exactly. If you're going to delegate, if you're going to delegate power and you're going to delegate responsibility, then I think that that as an individual, as a person, all right, as a member of a certain society, you have a responsibility to know what kind of people you're delegating that authority to. You know what I mean? And it's not just one of those things where you can say, okay, well, I don't feel like doing it, so I'm going to let somebody else do it. And you might hire somebody who's as big a criminal, if not bigger, than the people who he's set to set, you know, quote-unquote, protect society against.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it's like politicians, okay? These are people who are supposed to be making laws for the good of the people, and basically they're, you know, Our taxes are going up. Our economy is going to the toilet, and they're voting themselves $12,000 raises a year. You know, and I know people who don't even make $12,000 a year.
Yeah, that story I read before, that white collar incomes are not being affected by the recession.
No,
it's true.
Well, as long as recession has not
kept white collar salaries from rising at a pace with or above inflation. Now,
right.
How is that possible?
Well, because if you have a college education, then you are a member of an elite group, okay? And that elite group, I mean, you know, depending on whether it's pertinent to our economy or not, or better yet, not our economy, but the economy of the quote unquote ruling class, which there is in this country. If it's pertinent to that, then you're going to be able to get a job, and you may not do anything as far as what your job entails. You might sit there and, you know, stamp a stamp all day long. You might
stamp a stamp?
Stamp a stamp, you know, just stamp a sheet of paper, you know?
Yeah, I've never heard it referred to in quite that term, but yeah, it does make sense.
Oh, it's basically a matter of feather bedding, and that's all because you went and you got a piece of paper that recognizes you, maybe by the state of New York, maybe by the federal government, maybe by, you know, your own little town that you live in, that says that you are qualified to do a certain job, and the job is really worthless. And, you know, rather than get six people to do a good job, they get one person to do a crappy job. And I mean, it's the same thing. All right, you think about all the people in New York City who got laid off. And then a week later, they're advertising in the, I forget what the name of the magazine is, but they're advertising in this magazine, in fact, it's a newspaper, about all of these jobs that were left vacant by all of the people who got laid off by the city of New York, you know? And then they have the application submission office, which is still open, right? And if they're laying people off and they're not accepting applications, why are these people still getting a payroll? How come they're not getting laid off? You know, there are people who work for the Parks Department and, you know, for city zoos and stuff like that who are getting, you know, just thrown out of their jobs after 20, 30, you know, even 15 years, you know, of dedicated service. They're getting thrown out of their jobs. And then there are other people who, you know, they take limousines, which, you know, probably cost more per year than maybe 5 of the salaries of the people who are actually, you know, doing something that's any good. You know,
I
mean, let's face it. Most politicians, most people who work for the municipal or city or state governments, have jobs in other fields. Basically, a lot of our politicians are lawyers or law consultants or businessmen or tax consultants. These people have money that they're getting these incomes every year, and they're also getting paid by the public through our taxes. I personally think that being elected into an office and holding that office should be a voluntary thing. It should be volunteer work. I mean, you know, these people, they have people working in their campaign offices who don't get paid. They're just doing it because they want to see this guy get elected into office. And then he gets elected into office, and the jobs that they regularly have get income taxed and state and city and locally regulated, you know, to the teeth, and they end up taking home, you know, a minimum salary for a job. And I mean, in New York it's really bad. In other states you can't even get jobs.
So I hear. And you know, the income tax, the sales tax is going up 0.5 cent tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
It's going up to 8% here in Suffolk and 8.5% in Nassau.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure a lot of people will be complaining and seeing the negative aspects.
And I mean, you know, we also have income tax in this state, and the city of New York is broke. The state won't subsidize a lot of things, and we're spending money. We're putting our federal taxes into building up a weapons arsenal, which we'll probably never use.
Well, you know, that's something I wonder about. Now that, you know, the Soviet Union is breaking up, what's the point? Who are we having all these nuclear weapons for? Who are we saving them for? Does anybody know?
We're actually saving them for the suicide of the world.
Well, then at least let's admit it. let's have some honesty here.
Well, like I said, you know, the unfortunate thing is our government, you know, or I mean, let's break it down, all right? White Anglo-Saxon Protestant Americans refuse to acknowledge to the fact that they are, you know, if they can't own everything, they would just rather poison it or destroy it to the point where nobody can use it, all right? And the bottom line is that's where our world is going to, and the unfortunate thing is, I mean, you know, these people have been in power so long, they don't want to admit to the rest of the world or the rest of the country or basically the rest of the world that they screwed up. They made a big boo-boo. They messed up their genes. They messed up their institutions, all right? And our whole national history is a travesty. Okay? And you know, us as Americans, we sit around and we say, well, you know, if they say it, then it must be true. If it's written in 4 or 5 different newspapers, then it must be true. But not one of us subscribes to the Torch, or even, I mean, most people read the Village Voice because they want to see what's happening around town in Manhattan. They don't want to know what's happening in Manhattan.
Uh-huh.
They want to know where they can go out. That's why they go out and they buy the Voice. It's a great newspaper as far as that's concerned, but it also has pretty good articles in it, you know?
Same as has been said about Playboy, too.
Well, Playboy is, unfortunately, Playboy is one of those magazines that it allows people with a conscience not to feel bad about the rotten things that they're doing. you know?
Yeah.
And it also lets people look at semi-naked women with airbrushing all over them.
All right, well, listen, I want to go to some more calls, but thanks for expounding upon all that.
Well, I appreciate you picking up the phone. It's, you know, it's not every day that a normal, ordinary, working-class Joe with dirty knees and two black eyes gets to voice his personal opinions.
Well, that's what we're here for, to allow those people to occasionally get through and say something.
And I just want to say that if there are anybody out there who can relate to what I'm talking about, give this guy a call, because I'll be listening to the station. And, you know, it'll feel good to know that I'm not the only one out there who feels the way I do.
Okay, but you only have 6 minutes. Thanks for calling.
Goodbye.
that's amazing. You know, a caller that calls in and has somebody feeding him words to say on the air actually has more to say than the person that was too lazy to call in the first place. So that's something to look at and take note. We have 5 minutes left. 632-6901 in the words of Dr. Gene Scott. What's wrong with you people? What's wrong with you people? I am shocked, dismayed, and in utter disrepair over what I see here. Now, surely there are enough callers out there to lend the support that we need to build our ministry. But we're not asking for that now. We're just asking you to call. All right? So if you can call and pledge hundreds of thousands of dollars to that lunatic on the West Coast, you can call and just speak over the airwaves, you know? You only have 5 minutes. 632-6901. Good evening.
Hi, this is regular Joe number two.
Oh, goody.
Hi. What's up?
Not much.
Oh,
what's on your mind?
What's on my mind? Oh, I
know a lot of irregular Joes, too, by the way.
You are?
I know a lot of irregular Joes.
No, this is regular Joe.
Okay, but just to say, you know, people's name is Joe. It doesn't mean that they're normal by any means.
Oh, regular Joe number two, I forgot to add.
Okay, well, go ahead.
Oh, well, no, I just wanted to find out what you're up to.
What am I up to?
Yeah, your radio station, right?
Yeah, I'm up here.
I'm just...
Oh, you're having more fun than I am.
Hello?
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't hang up yet, but go ahead. Say
I was
say
expecting
something
you to hang up on me. All right, I'm sorry. I just got the giggles.
Okay, you know, this is what happens to people when they realize they're on the radio. In front
okay,
of
you can hang up on me.
Millions of other people listening to you right now at this very moment.
You can hang up on me. I know you want to.
Better yet, let me transfer you. There, now he's transferred over there, and everybody else is happy. Good evening.
Yeah, what about the clash at the Kremlin? One spectator said you couldn't see Joe Strummer for the tanks in the way.
What, the clash at the Kremlin?
It's a joke. You didn't get it.
Oh, I get it.
Clash at the Kremlin. One spectator said you couldn't see Joe Strummer for the tanks in the way.
That's good, except for the fact that the clash broke up. Therefore, it's not funny.
I heard they're supposed to get back again.
Those are rumors, but, you know, in the words of Paul Simonon, who also was in the clash, he knows nothing about it. So if he knows nothing about it, that means it's not going to happen.
But if we keep hoping.
We can keep hoping, yeah. And we can keep buying jeans, too. That'll make everybody happy.
Jeans and bad albums. I went in and saw it and then saw the new album and said, nah, I'll be rebellious. I won't give the record company my money.
Oh, did you hear it today on the radio?
I've heard it a lot.
Uh-huh.
Heard some of it. I really like it. I'm just not going to spend the $8 on it.
Uh-huh. Oh, so
you got other calls.
Yeah, I do, and I seem to have a phone ringing. But thanks for calling.
All right.
And yeah, you can tape it, you can listen to it, and then decide if you want to buy it. You know, I don't like going out and buying things just based on the fact that it's there and I should buy it. You know, I want to hear it first and then decide from that if it's okay to buy. But that's a whole other topic entirely. Good evening.
Hi, I'd say it's about time for a joke, eh?
We need a joke. Go ahead.
How come Dinkins don't have seatbelts in his limos?
How David Dinkins, I assume.
Right.
Why does David Dinkins not have seatbelts in his limos? Okay, let's hear it.
He's got Velcro on his head vest.
Oh, that's not bad. That's pretty good, actually. Thanks so much for sharing that with us. Good evening.
Hi, I know the person who just called.
It was just Mr. Giggler again. Apparently, yes. Good evening.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, I'm fine.
Is Hacker's Quarterly still being published?
The Hacker Quarterly is still being published. In fact, the summer issue will be out sometime in the early fall.
Great.
Yeah, it's not so great, actually, but it's a happening thing.
Are you still being followed by members of the secret police?
Yeah, you know, they're all over the place now. They've got cameras, and they've got video cameras now, too.
Yeah.
Apparently, they got a budget increase, but yeah, they're following me all over the place. But if you want to be followed, if you want to be surveyed and watched for the rest of your life, you can come to the hacker meeting at CityCorps Center a week from yesterday. It's at 5 p.m. In the city, in the lobby part.
Are you still having meetings?
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Yeah, we believe in that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, you can't let the secret police hold you back.
Well, no, we want them to have fun, you know? Now they've got all this equipment, we figure they might as well use it for something. So we're going to go around and, you know, have them follow us and do various things that look suspicious. You know, everybody has a good time.
Good.
All right. Listen, I got to go.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. Thanks, everybody else that called in. And keep it tuned to WUSB in Stony Brook because No Sound Test is up next. We'll be back again next week with talk about the shocking news that has not yet happened.
Why are you coming back at all?
You could read about me in the papers. Well, you won't read about me in the papers tomorrow because what's about to happen will take place.
Obituary.
In the next 10 minutes, something dramatic is going to happen at the radio station. But odds are, it won't make the Sunday papers, but it will make the Monday papers.
And that bony body of yours.
Okay, it's going to make the Monday papers. So that's
Monday is going to make. Sunday's
paper. No, I can't. The Sunday's paper's already out, you moron.
You won't even live to see Labor Day.
You won't live to see Labor, my friend. Yours or that of anybody else. But enough of that. Let's hear a nice promo since I don't have an outro.
Hear a nice promo. They want you to get off the air. Now move it.
Folks, in case I'm not back next week, there will be an address to send cards and letters to. Good night.
The world must have ended. Someone on one side or the other must have pushed the button, dropped the bomb.
Ladies and gentlemen, here before us stands the man of tomorrow.
Every Tuesday night, 90.1 WUSB in Stony Brook offers you the alternative on The Happy Nightmare, a mixture of industrial rhythms and soothing sounds.
Restless dreams.
And there's no way you can hear.
Join Derek Cornish and the Toxic Banana every Tuesday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. for The Happy Nightmare on Long Island's first station of the 90s, 90.1 WUSB, Stony Brook. No, no,